Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication with Universal Source, healing energies, miracles, and ways to engage your intuitive higher self. And I am delighted to welcome Lars Mule, a seer and mystic who has worked with extrasensory perception since childhood, and we will discuss today his newest book, The Gate of Light. Hello, Lars, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within to discuss healing practices to connect us to source energy and the mystical scenes of so long ago that I have personally been very instinctively curious about for so long.
Okay, thank you very much.
Lars, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guest and I share our intimate experiences that have led us to know we are more than our bodies, and that in understanding, yes, our energetic or spiritual soul essence, we can begin to refine and rethink our emotions, behaviors, and patterns, and find our true potential, and also answer questions like, who are we, where do we come from, and what is the purpose of a physical life? In today's episode of Healing From Within, Lars Mule, a best-selling author and musician who has studied the world's religions and esoteric mysteries, discovered in 1966 that he had an unexplained illness which neither doctors nor alternative therapists could diagnose. We will learn who helped him and how life developed for him after that experience. We will talk about a complete spiritual practice of practical tools, meditations, and visualizations to help us begin to realize the universal life beings that we are, and how to employ that wisdom into our everyday lives. Lars, I always love to ask my guests, because I get the most beautiful and inspiring answers, to think back to their childhood and remember either a person, a place, an event that may have shown them or others a bit about the life plan or destiny that would be important in their adult life. So think back for a minute to the beginning.
Oh, yes. There was definitely when I was 6 years old when I first time had a glimpse through the veil and were more or less shocked to see that there was a kind of light, a net of light that was holding everything together, and I could see through furniture and through my sister, my little sister. That was definitely one of the the things that shocked me, and yeah. It took me some time.
Yeah, you had an ability to be able to sense the physical and the inner energy source. It took me a long time to be able to do that, because as a child I was sensitive too, but I was a little frightened by it, so so go on.
Then when my little sister died when I was 10 years old, she was 6 years old. Then that was the shock that really meant that I was ripped open, you know, like there was no protection, there was no veil between me and the other side. So every time I could feel grown-ups, their pains, their sorrows, their worries and their burdens they were carrying. But the one thing that frightened me, the hell out of me, was that I actually could feel when people were not sincere, meaning that they thought one thing, said another, and did a third thing. You know, there was no alignment between what they thought, said, and did. And that really frightened me.
It hurt you deeply.
Yeah.
And I remember as a child laying on the floor at 3 years old and crying and calling and asking, why did you drop me in this place? Because I was very much that way, very empathic. Of course, I didn't understand it, and nobody else understood it either. And they said, "Oh, she's a sensitive child. She'll grow out of it," you know. And I cried a lot because I felt like you. What is wrong? These are grown-ups, and they are supposed to know the right thing, but they're not saying and doing the right thing. It saddened me, but I still was very happy to be in life, and either I was dancing and flying above the ground, you know, just like when I could throw a basketball into the hoop as a little girl. I had to jump up, and I could do. And but see, there was the joy, and there was the sadness. But that's what we're here as humans, our souls, to experience everything. So I do understand. Hearing that brings me back, and I'm glad to hear you express it much the way I experienced it, and I haven't often heard it that way. So let's go on to tell us something of the Dead Sea Scrolls discovered in 1946 and how we found out about an ancient group known as the Essenes, and tell us something about who they
Yeah,
were.
listen, already when I was 18 years old, after my sister's death, I had a few years where I was completely off. I could not go to school, I could do no nothing. So I have really no schooling, as such. So when I was 15, 16 years old, I started to study, I was drawn into to study esoterics, and Sufism and world religions, but I was very much drawn by the Jesus figure, So I read actually an old book from that Edgar Casey, your
Edgar,
American,
oh, Edgar Casey,
and
yes.
he that was first time I heard mentioned the Essenes. So from his readings, I was really, I instinctively, intuitively, I knew that this was completely into my ball game, because and later on, I was confirmed that I had been a Essene myself, in a former life. But at that time, when I read about Edgar Casey and found out that he, 20 years before the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, he mentioned the scrolls and mentioned also that they were about to be found. And so I took that as a seal for me of truth that the other things he was talking about was true also. And he mentioned that Jesus was more or less educated by the Essenes. And it took me into a complete new thing that at the same time it was new, it was also very familiar to me. It was so, yes, I've come home. That was a feeling I got. And from there on, I got hold of the Dead Sea Scrolls and I started studying them. And later on, I got hold of the Nag Hammadi scriptures, the Gospel of Philip, the Gospel of Thomas, and all these scriptures. So this have become a lifelong study for me that have culminated in 1984 when I started studying the Aramaic language, the language of Jesus.
Yes,
So it's all connected
absolutely.
to me.
And I remember when this is 20 years ago, and someone who worked for me, I was really starting to be called by spirit and have very mystical experiences. For a while I had quieted that from my childhood, and I didn't pay attention. I wanted to be like everyone else and fit into the physical world. But then things started to change, and a woman who worked for me said to me, "Have you read Edgar Casey yet?" And that very week I went to a workshop and met the grandson of Edgar Casey, and I read about him, and I became a healer, a Reiki master teacher, practitioner, working with energy and a medium. And I always felt I was working in his under his tutelage or his style. And
I understand.
as far as the Essenes go, let me just tell our listeners there. The Essenes were people who studied and copied holy writings. They interpreted dreams. They were familiar with astrology, which was a science of that time and used to help people understand themselves and the world in a better way. And prophecy, they knew about herbs and crystals, and they were outstanding healers. They also believed in reincarnation, and people sought them out. And it was the three wise men who were the highest of the Essene group at that time, and both Joseph and Mary, the parents of Yeshua or Jesus, belonged to the Essenes, and he was educated by this group. So
The most important thing about the Essenes to be said is that the reason for the whole community was to pave the way for the coming Messiah, and they were given certain signs from Persia that told them that when a certain star picture would be up there, a star connection, then if they would have to follow those signs, then that would be the proof to them that yes, Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the teacher of righteousness whom they have been looking for 300 years or something.
Right, and we're still all getting those signs. People call them coincidences or synchronicity and miracles. We're having that, and the more in line we get in alignment to this universal energy and the God which is within us, and we are within this God force, the more we allow it, accept it, and surrender to it, the more it happens. So yes, that is very important to mention. But let's go on to your illness. You had a 3-year-long illness, and you weren't able to get help, but you met a teacher and who became very important to you. So tell us about that for a minute.
As you said, suddenly I became ill, and nobody could really tell me what was wrong with me. So, and this lasted for 3 years. And after 3 years, where I more or less were bound to the bed, a friend of mine gave me a telephone number to this mystical man. And I phoned him up, and within 5 minutes, he got me out of bed, just talking to me on the phone. And he told me to come down to the Pyrenees in France to work with him at the holy mountain of Montségur. And I was his apprentice there for almost 7 years, working with him there and in Andalusia in Spain, for months at a time, learning about. You should know that until I met him, I have studied and studied and studied, but I've never practiced anything. So now I suddenly met a man who hadn't read anything, but only practiced. And people were calling him every morning. He started his day raising from bed and said, "I hereby dedicate myself to the universe." Then he went into his office, and from 7 to 8, he just sat down in silence. He didn't meditate, as he said. He was just sitting there in silence. So that was how we
Well, that's a
started the
form of
day.
meditation. He was
Yeah, of
receiving
course.
guidance
But
that way.
he wouldn't call it that. And from 8 to 9, people called him from all over the earth, asking him for help. And it could be like, for example, a guy who phoned him from Australia saying, "Listen, my doctors have given up on me. They've given me half a year to live. I have got cancer. Can you help me?" And he would answer, "Of course." And he would do that. And within a couple of days, that person would be completely healed. And so it was every day for his whole life. He just helped thousands of people.
So he was like Edgar Casey.
In many ways, he didn't have to go to sleep or to be in a trance. He did this with open eyes,
That's
to
all
be
right.
you.
Yeah, but He was doing the same work. He was channeling
Exactly, yeah,
God's
exactly.
energy for healing and for being of service to everyone.
Exactly. I told him about Edgar Cayce, but he had never heard anything about him.
That's
So he
all right.
went out. So he went to read in the Book of Life to try to find the records of Edgar Cayce, and he actually found it. And started telling me things about Edgar Cayce I didn't know, just from reading the Akashic records or the Book of Life, as he called it. So he was very much at the same kind of level, working at the same frequency.
Yes, vibration and frequency.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
he was reaching the
But
Akashic record,
sadly, he.
the field, or as you say, the plane of unity or oneness, where you
Yeah,
can
exactly.
experience God and be in complete connection to Him. It really is our thoughts and actions that define our reality. And you also wrote
Exactly.
about Austrian man Rudolf Steiner,
Yeah.
who believed that. And we need to, of course, find the right balance between ethics and good living and spiritual awareness and know who we are. So I say, I have discovered as a practicing energy worker, much of the pain and suffering and wounds to our soul happen as a result of well-meaning parents or events that happened in our childhood, like you with losing your sister, right? And we're damaged, and due to these pains or misguided belief systems given to us early in life, or emotional and mental trauma that we absorb, we are wounded. So before we can overcome and make change, we have to return to a state of unity, peace, love, and we've got to recognize the pattern. And that is first.
There was one very important thing that the seer, as I called him, the seer Kalle de Montségur, my teacher, said. That is that there must be alignment between what you think and what you do and what you say, because it's everything. He said to me many times, if you think that it will be harder than the basic work, you can forget all about it, because the basic work is the hardest. And if you cannot deal with the basic work, then you should not. I mean, word comes so easy, anybody can say anything, but
Right.
it is actually, what are you doing with your life? And he said to me one time, he said, if you really want to fly, and I asked him many times, how come I cannot fly, and he said, I tell you what, I can see that one in a life, one there was a time in your life when you were out walking in the nature. You had a 3 years hike or 3 days hike, and on your way back home, you had a meal, all your rubbish from your meal packets and everything. You had it in a plastic bag, and you just threw it into the bushes. And you said to yourself, "Oh, nobody will know because nobody saw this." But I tell you, there was one person present at that time, and that was you. You saw it
Yes.
because you did it. You were there. And you'll never forget it. And it is small things like that. You can give all your money to the hungry kids in Africa. You can pray to God, and you can be part of this light circle there and this. But if you cannot keep your own private path clean, then you will never learn to fly. And this is the law of light, as he said. And this is what Jesus wanted to tell us, that all these small things count. They matters. If you can stand up and say that you are Christian and you are so good and you do that, and when you turn your back and you do something different, you will. I mean, it. There must be connection between
The
everything.
consistency, yeah,
Yes,
with your
an
heart
alignment.
feelings. What we were talking about at the beginning, what we saw
Yeah.
as children, what we knew to be right, what we wanted to share with the world, and what we were
Exactly.
saddened by because it
Yeah.
didn't come back to us. They couldn't get it. They didn't understand. We're all on different life paths and here for different reasons. Something as simple as just learning to be grateful for a cup of tea when you don't feel
Yes.
well. It's all important, is what
Exactly.
you're really saying.
But you know, Cheryl, he
Yeah.
also said that when we, you know, when because he helped a lot of people who have died to get over the threshold into the next life. And he said there's too many people who are afraid of being judged, that God will judge them, but there will be no other judge than yourself. Because you're the witness to your life, and you know exactly what is right and what is wrong. And after, when you have passed the threshold, you'll be confronted with all these things, but there will be nobody else judging you but yourself, because on the other side, you will know exactly what is right and good. So there will be no judgment as such. It will be like you learning to do the right thing next time you come here. And he was
Absolutely.
helping a lot of people passing the threshold and help them to answer the questions that we all have to answer on the other side.
And some
So
of
I have
us
one.
are answering it here too. It begins
Yeah, of course we
here
are.
to answer these questions. Now, Lars, you go on to describe what is most precious in this human incarnation and how we may find greater faith in ourselves, and you discuss two sides to I. Can you tell us something about that?
Oh yeah, I mean we have one self, but it has two sides. You can either let it be run by the ego side of you. I mean that's the little self, but we have a higher self, and this is the higher self is actually our connection to the God force or the oneness level, you know, of everything. So this is our ticket, I would say, back home.
That's
Because
good. I like that, the ticket. And you also said there is only one life and that is never ending. In between our incarnations, either here or on other planets, we return to the plane of unity. And you talk about Albert Einstein, who, people thought he was agnostic, but he believed the most beautiful emotion is the mystical, and he had very high regard for Peter Dunov, who was a Christian
Peter
mystic.
Dunov, yeah,
Yes. So
from Bulgaria.
I love reading that in your book that you
I mean,
mentioned that.
he Albert Einstein was fantastic. He was really so much more than people they are thinking about him, you know.
I know.
He was.
Now, Lars, I have to share something with you because
Oh, great.
this was amazing. In my next book that I'm working on, New Life Awaits, Creating Your Best Afterlife by Living Consciously Now. My sister also passed a few years ago, and I do readings for people, but I always thought I had to do it for people who come to me and ask me. But I was told by a teacher that I could do it for anyone in spirit, any historical figure, anyone I needed to learn from. So I shared a reading with my sister. And usually when I do a reading, I simply write down whatever's presented to me. But I asked my sister a few questions. Because when she was ill, I tried so hard to show her that she was going to be in for an amazing journey into forever and beyond. And she wasn't able to believe in that. So when I went into her energy, I felt her energy around me and sensed she was surrounded in a blanket of green glory and quietness, but her heart still hurt because she wanted to stay. And in your book, you write on page 45, this is what happened to Yeshua on the Mount of Transformation when clothed in his robe of glory, a fully enlightened person. He showed mankind the bliss that awaits the patient practitioner. And I couldn't breathe when I read that. I took a deep breath. And please tell us something. Yeah, tell us something of the healing process my sister was describing.
I mean, if people just knew how much potential they got, that has nothing to do with money or possessions or whatever. I mean, all these things will be given to anybody who will bow down and pick up their task in this life, because not two people are alike. Your
No.
task and my task could look maybe the same in many ways, but they are different differences. You're unique in your way, I am in my way, and so is everybody else. And if we could come to the conclusion that we will start unfolding all the gifts we have been given right from when we came into this incarnation and unfold them before it's too late, because we are only, maybe it's our only time here on Earth. Next time we go, we maybe go somewhere else on another plane or in another universe or whatever.
Yes, I
So it
agree.
is now we have to start unfolding. And we are so gifted. But the problem is, if we don't see it, if we don't want to see it, and if we just keep ourselves down with silly and silly dogmas of, I don't know, Jesus really wanted to set each one of us free by opening up the healing force. He said to everybody, if you follow my example, you can do even greater wonders than I.
Yes, I want to thank you, Lars Muehl, author of The
Yeah.
Gate of Life, for your most engaging, enlightening, and lovely story and book, insights and tools to share the love of spirit and find the best within ourselves as we find our way home to the universal source within and around us. So much is here in this powerful small book that one can hold in their hand and heart to guide us forward to a praxis of ancient spiritual wisdom and the truth of the universe in oneness. To purchase this book of such beauty in word and vision, go to Amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Lars Muehl has shared his miraculous journey to finding the essence of life in all forms beyond space and time as we reach to return to the plane of unity from where we each originated. In our travels, we learn about transfiguration, resurrection, archetypes, actually, everything truly put into a perfect science and lifestyle for the seeker who wishes to consistently strengthen his understanding of life, both energetic and physically. The truth of our natural state of magnificence and connection, not separation from the plane of unity, is within the topics we have just explored with an open heart and mind today. And Lars expressed it in this way. I wanted to say, I truly don't want to miss the mark. And
No.
you expressed it in your book this way. We humans should only, and allowing these to be expressed through the pineal, the third eye, that time and again we need to remember the concept of sin. In Aramaic, it does not have the same meaning as in the Western world. Katitha, directly translated, means to miss the mark. You wrote this. And the
Yes.
reason we miss the mark is that we are not collected, focused, and dedicated to what we are doing. It is imperative that we are 100% present, that we submit ourselves by giving everything up to God. In other words, that we surrender ourselves unconditionally and securely into God's hands, remembering that it is only when we forget our constant connection with the plane of unity and with the resonance that this all-pervading plane offers, that we lose our ability to lift ourselves above the mundane, the intellectual, and the physical. And I want to thank you for that, Lars.
Oh, thank you.
Lars and I would have you remember that when you truly know the divine essence within and free it from the fears and noise of the outer world and the little self, we can unite with the divine force of eternal life, and the journey continues in worlds of light and wisdom too beautiful to express with words. This is the gift of life lived with hope, courage, faith, trust, and love of spirit. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website to read about and listen to visionaries, spiritualists, scientists, medical and energy practitioners, psychologists, musicians, artists, educators, all in search of truth and love through awareness and higher consciousness of universal source. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.